Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio in Gwinnett, this is Partners for Success, presented by Meridian Star Merchant Services.
Hello and welcome to Partners for Success, presented by Meridian Star Merchant Services. I am Dennis Bonin, and alongside me, as usual, is Randy Hicks. Randy, how are we doing this morning?
Doing great, Dennis. How about yourself?
Very good, very good. Interesting night with the Home Run Derby.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. Some of those hits were really, really outstandingly long.
And the two runner-ups, or the winner and the runner-up, were both young folks. Bryce Harper being 20 years old, it was interesting seeing what ability they bring to the table.
Did you know, too, that it was his dad actually pitching?
No, I didn't. Wow. Okay.
So pretty exciting. A great home run derby. I really saw that. But, of course, those pitchers just get to lob those balls up there to them any way that they want.
Hey, I know it's the All-Star break, but what's going on with the Braves?
Well, the Braves are six games, I believe, still. And they are looking forward with four of the starters hurt. They're looking forward to a great second half after 4 days rest. And how could you not be when you're six games ahead?
Well, you could be six games ahead in the first half, but it's the second half that you got to finish strong. Injuries may prevail. So, all right, let's get started today with our first guest. Partners for Success is a show that highlights and promotes many Atlanta outstanding businesses and business leaders. Today, joining us, our first guest is Pam Estabrook, owner of Protect Painters in Suwanee, Georgia. And we also have with us today Tom Leatherberry, CEO of Leatherberry & Associates in Duluth, Georgia. Let's get started today with Pam Estabrook, owner of Protect Painters.
Welcome to the show today, Pam. Tell us a little bit about your business and what you do, what services you provide.
Well, good afternoon. Thanks for having me. We are interior and exterior residential and commercial painters. We offer full service painting both inside and outside your home or your business. We are a family owned and operated company, been in Gwinnett County over 10 years.
Okay. You know, the paint business is a lot of folks riding around in a pickup truck and, you know, we used to say flip-flops and you got a paintbrush and, here they are painting on outside a house, inside of a house. But how long has Protect Painters been in business and what's part of their success?
Yeah, we call those guys chucking a truck. You know, maybe it may be the guy that you see painting your neighbor's house, you call him over and he gives you a paint estimate, if you're lucky, on the back of his business card. As I said, Protect's been in business in Gwinnett County over 10 years. I am the new owner of Central Gwinnett as a territory since March of 2013. So my franchise is brand new, but I have been in this business a great many years. What separates us apart is a nationwide branding. We have 20-plus years as a company before we were franchised with a proven sales system, a proven estimating system, and a production system that works time after time. You get a very long, detailed estimate, project plan type paper from me when we leave and sign an agreement. Our crew works off of that. I work off of that. The homeowner knows what we're going to do, and it's just very easy to understand.
So with that, you get a warranty where chucking a truck, you know, their warranty, they could be gone 6 months from now or a year from now. With Protect Painters being around for 20 years, I got to say they probably stand behind their work.
We absolutely do. And, yeah, good luck finding that guy. It's very similar to what people went through with the re-roofing blitz many years ago. Yeah, they got a great deal, but they can't find somebody now to fix the leak.
Right.
Yeah, we offer a 2-year workmanship warranty, and primarily we use Sherwin-Williams paint, which will either come with a lifetime or a 25-year warranty against paint failure.
Wow. Okay.
Well, you mentioned estimating, Pam, and I know as a homeowner – that's one of the hardest things. How do you go about going through the estimating process? What should consumers, homeowners, really look for in that process? What should they look for in picking a contractor? Tell us a little bit about that.
I have a form, or we use technology. I have it in an iPad format as well, where it's basically a time and motion study. I will walk the property with the homeowner when I first arrive at the house. I'll point out things that are of a concern to me. I ask them to point out things that they've seen that are a concern to them. We talk through what might need to be done as far as prep, wood repair. Many, many things happen to a home before we actually put a new coat of paint on it. So it's kind of a consultative selling system that I like to use. It's not high pressure. It's just let's work together, let's evaluate your home, and let's come up with a plan to get you back in shape and get you in a paint cycle that's going to last you 7 to 9 years.
Sure, they may not realize there's some areas that need to be touched up or things that need to be prepped before doing that they may think, well, I can get away with not doing that, but later on it's going to become a problem or an issue.
I'm always surprised how many people ask me, well, is it extra to power wash? No, it's standard. But a lot of people will just roll up and may or may not caulk and start to apply a paint. And that's, you know, there's many things that have to happen. Power washing is the first thing we do.
Well, speaking of that, when you say, you know, power washing, prepping, what type of preps should be done for the homeowner to be done prior to you going in and doing the work?
We power wash first mm-hmm. to get the dirt off. Sometimes you've got to do that before you can even see certain surfaces of the house. It lets us look at the wood. If wood is rotten underneath paint, we're going to usually blast it apart. We're going to wash aggressively to uncover areas of the house that are compromised. We look for loose and peeling paint. If we expose it or it's peeling when we get there, we scrape it, we sand it, we get all of that paint off.
So that won't come off again. Once you prime it, it's set.
Right, and we do have to prime that bare wood, and I insist that my guys use an exterior oil primer on that bare wood.
Okay.
And then we inspect all of the areas that you would suspect need caulking.
Right.
Vertical seams in your siding, siding to trim connections, gaps in trim. All around your doors, all around your windows. Anywhere there's a gap or a void, we want it sealed up.
Okay. Well, how do you handle the wood repair or the carpentry that you mentioned? You mentioned that you guys aggressively power wash to expose those areas. Are you then capable of doing the wood repair as well?
We do have someone on every crew, and it's generally the crew chief who handles the carpentry. And we can do some fairly complicated things. But what we run into standard are sill noses, window trims, which we call brick mold. Maybe you've got a bad soffit, some fascia where your gutter hangs has gotten soft. That's what we typically see and routinely replace. And we can replace it with a PVC or a vinyl product if it's available, so you move into a no-rot situation.
And that PVC and vinyl, that'll last, I would assume, a pretty long time.
Should be forever.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Didn't know that. You know, when it comes to picking out colors and interior and exterior, I leave that to the wife. But, you know, sometimes the wife is overwhelmed or significant other or spouse. Is there someone there to help select the colors and help make things flow a little bit better?
It's generally me. Mm-hmm. And Sherwin-Williams, Ben Moore, even Home Depot have wonderful brochures now that really lay out nice color schemes and what are trending. Oftentimes on an exterior, we're in an HOA situation mm-hmm. where we're limited with colors or we have to go through an approval process. If we're making a drastic color change or I'm concerned about we want to go darker on the siding, am I going to need two coats or not, I get a little tester for the homeowner, and I come out and we, in an inconspicuous place, we'll test it on the side of the house and just work through it that way until we get a color that we're going to like.
That's exactly the question I was going to ask related to that, because, you know, sample sheets and squares, what do you call the little chip samples? What are they called?
Well, it comes in a fan deck is the big...
Okay, yeah, fan deck.
Yeah.
Are never the same as it looks on your house. So how did you do that? So you go around the back and get tester samples and put four or five colors on the back and
exactly.
See how it looks, right?
Exactly. And then you can look at it in the morning and, you know, the bright sun in the evening and just see how, you know, some colors are more stable than others. And if somebody says they want a gray, well, you can get a purple gray, you can get a blue gray, you can get a brown gray, which could be a taupe. So, you know, we look at it in the scope of several things. What is your brick color? What is your mortar color? Mortar's huge. Sometimes we'll pick a siding color to match the mortar. So you've kind of got a nice color scheme.
And so do you guys, we talked a lot about exterior, but do you guys do interiors?
Absolutely.
And I know that picking colors on the interior of a house is quite difficult. There are, what, hundreds of colors of white, correct?
There's quite a few. There's quite a few.
So how do you go through that process?
Very much the same way. You know, when you move inside, you become more concerned about what's the upholstery like? What are their accent colors? Then you can talk about what mood do you want in your living room, family room, right. bedroom. So you get a little more into the design and the emotion of color on the inside than you do on the outside. Okay. It's a lot more emotional to do an interior as far as picking colors.
Sure, as many rooms in downstairs, upstairs.
Teenagers.
Know. Right.
Yeah.
You know, it drives me to that question on the interior. We talked about the exterior trimming, changing out soffit, siding, windows, caulking. On the interior, you run into trim also. Mm-hmm. What's your limitations on the inside? I know you paint, you caulk. Is trim part of that factor? Or?
Yeah, we routinely paint trim.
Okay. But, I mean, replacement, if they wanted to change out some trim?
We do. My crew chief, the same guy who would be, you know, using the saw and cutting miters and that sort of thing,
right.
can do basic interior carpentry. He can hang crown molding and chair rails and that sort of interior trim carpentry okay. if it came to it.
And then you caulk them and paint them.
Yes.
What about staining? Any types of varnishes or stains that you all do on the interior?
Not a lot. Mm-hmm. If we installed raw wood that had not been primed, of course, we could stain it. But primarily we stain on the outside, and you think about decks or
right.
cedar homes. Almost everybody has interior trim nowadays that's painted.
Right. You know, you spoke about the deck and outside, and the weather here in Georgia has been, you know, pretty rainy.
Challenging.
Okay, that's a good term. How does that affect your business? Is there, and this is a two-part question. One is we have the rains and the struggles with that, humidity. And two is what's the best time of the year to paint the outside of the house? Is there a window of opportunity and to where that is better than most?
The rain and humidity do present some challenges. The darker you go on the exterior of your home, the more colorant the paint has gone into the can to make that dark color, which a little bit makes the paint heavier, if that makes any sense at all. Mm-hmm. So when we have a heavy dew overnight and the house may stay damp, you know, until it gets in the sunshine,
right.
we watch that because we don't want the paint to tend to hold moisture underneath it or sag. It will literally just kind of sag down the house.
Right.
So we watch colors and exposures and if it's in the sun or the shade. Same thing goes with heat. Normally, at this point in July, we would be 95-plus every day. You know, sometimes
right.
we'd be in the hundreds. We've just been cool and damp and rainy. So, you know, there is a period in August where we can only paint until maybe 2 in the afternoon, and it just gets too hot. If we're painting any sort of a metal roof, we're doing that at 7 at night, generally.
So that's good. You care about the product that you're putting on the house. So if it means you need to stop in
we
the
stop.
Weather's condition, you stop and come back.
Right.
And I assume when you pressure wash a house, you probably let it sit for the rest of the day and come back the next day and start prepping.
Absolutely.
Once things have dried out.
And I want 24 hours after I power wash a deck before I put stain on it. You know, the paint you ask about the best time of year, super paint, which is what I primarily use on the siding, is rated to go on a house at 35 degrees. And I just won't do that. I typically don't let my guys on an aluminum ladder 2 to 3 stories off the ground until I get 40, and I prefer 45. So if I'm looking at trying to get a house painted in December, January, February on the exterior, it's challenging. They're fine motor skills. Their hands are cold. To err towards safety, I don't think it's the best thing for my crew or the performance of the paint long term.
It's a good time to get your interior done.
It is. And
right.
fall and spring are my busiest exterior times of year. My Google advertising, my marketing, my direct mail at those times of year are all focused toward exterior.
Right.
And then moving into winter and the hot of summer, I'll tend to push more advertising toward interiors.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like that Pro-Tech Painters is certainly a well-established, and you're quite knowledgeable in what you're doing. But if our listeners would like to find out more about your company and more about you, how's the best way for them to find out?
They can check out Pro-Tech Painters of Central Gwinnett on Facebook. They can find at www.protechpainters.com. They will be able to find me if they type in a Gwinnett County zip code. I service all of Gwinnett County. I'm also on Houzz, H-O-U-Z-Z. I have some portfolio befores and afters of some of our recent projects out on house.
Okay.
And my number is 770-827-6883.
Can I chime in real quick?
Sure, Mike.
Go ahead. This is the outstanding producer, Mike, by the way. Want to make sure that people understand the website is ProTech, and it's ProTECT.
Correct.
Because I think people might think it's tech as in technical.
Correct.
So we'll be clear that give the website one more time.
It's www.protectpainters.com.
Great. All right. Well, thank you, Pam. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And our next guest for Partner Success is Tom Leatherberry, CEO of Leatherberry & Associates. Tom, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Tell us a little bit about your business.
Well, Leatherberry Associates is an organization that is a provider of CRM, workflow, and marketing automation solutions. Our client base ranges from small, medium-sized organizations that are focused in the area of software and services. We have customers that are in manufacturing, merchandising, publishing. So we have a wide variety of clients, and they range from Honolulu all the way to Windsor, Connecticut. So all points in between. Our primary focus today is in the area of workflow and marketing automation. So we take manual human-based tasks and we automate them. And that could be a simple task as somebody visiting your website. They want to learn more about you. They want some product brochure. Instead of sending an email through a contact us form to a marketing representative who then assembles the materials and sends them out manually, which may take 3 to 5 minutes or a much more lengthy process. We'll take that process and we actually automate it such that the email comes in from the website. It's automatically read by the automation software. The documents are then turned around and sent back. Brochures are sent back to the customer in the area that they have opted or selected for their area of interest. We can actually take the data and write it into their CRM system. So if the customer doesn't exist in their database, we can actually automatically add them into the database. We can schedule a phone call for a sales rep to call them back. So all these little tasks that take seconds or minutes of time, they actually compound over the course of time. So if you have somebody who's responsible for managing a busy website, you've got 20, 30, 50 leads coming in a day, over the course of time, that becomes quite difficult to manage. And so workflow automation actually takes that task. It cuts it down into nanoseconds.
Wow. Well, that's an interesting example of workflow automation in general. But for business owners who may not be getting leads like that, or if we were to look at the Wikipedia encyclopedia example of workflow automation, how would you really define that?
So it's really an option that organizations have to look at in today's economy, because right now we're spending a lot of time on resources. We're spending a lot of money on new hires. We invest in training of those new hires to go through and learn our systems. And then 2 years later, those people are gone or sooner. So the cost of turnover becomes insurmountable. So if you look at a piece of software that costs you maybe $15,000, $20,000, $30,000, and that piece of software runs 24/7, it does everything you ask it to do on time, as scheduled, never asks for time off, doesn't take sick days, the return on that investment becomes huge.
Wow. Well, let me, for a business, what is the necessity in that business for the workflow automation? Why would it be a necessity for a business?
I'll give you a perfect example. Last year, Hurricane Sandy blew through the Northeast. We have a client who's based in the Northeast, who, a very large global organization, their office became an island. It was surrounded by water. No employee could get into the office. Generators kicked in. Generators kept the servers running. Because the servers were able to run, the software was able to run, so the entire world was still able to communicate with our client. At that point, leads were still being processed to sales reps. Outside employees were able to log in remotely and be able to conduct complete their job requirements. That particular organization actually attributed 38% of their online sales for the previous year to this one piece of software, workflow automation software that we represent.
And really, based on that, you've talked about a lot about FTE savings, really, there. So small companies to large could use workflow automation.
Absolutely.
Right? And based on that, what types of businesses, what verticals do you have that are using workflow automation today?
It's really what I call a horizontal vertical. It doesn't necessarily particularly fit into a niche type of business or a particular vertical. Everybody can benefit from this. We have a client that's been with us since 2002, and they opted back then to invest in a piece of software to automate a lot of their tasks. So they're a three-person organization. They could have grown. They could have hired additional employees. But in the last 11 years, they've hired two additional people because the workflow automation software is fulfilling their order processing. It's handling all of their RMAs. It's handling all of their marketing inquiries. It's handling all of their product defects and tracking of defects that they have in their product. Not that they have a lot of defects in their product, but it handles that. So if something goes awry, it actually self monitors itself. So if it's not able to send out emails, then it can write an alert into their CRM software for an administrator to distribute a report to administrator, letting them know that there's an issue.
Well, how do the human factors really play into that? A lot of times there's decision processing that is required in workflow automation that could be actually slowed down by waiting for a human response.
That's a great question. There's two areas to the workflow automation. I mean, there's one where you need an approval process, for example, in the area of billing, credit card processing. An order comes in, somebody has, sales rep has discounted the price, manager needs to approve that, or somebody in accounting needs to approve. So some of the workflow automation tools today actually build in what they call a decision tool, which you can then work around the different options. So if there's an approval process, then send it off for approval. It can actually generate a web form or a portal where a manager can log in and view everything that they need to approve. And then once those approvals are submitted, then the automation kicks off and completes its task. One way that we actually internally handle the approval process or the human intervention is in our area of billing. Our billing gets compiled automatically at night, and then we send a report off to a billing manager to review. And in that report, they actually have hyperlinks where they just click the link and say, I approve this bill, I don't approve this, or invoice. And then when it's done, off it goes to the customer. So you can build in decision-making tools into the software where a person can interact with it, or you can build a decision-making tool in to bypass the approval process if necessary.
I've got a two-part question, and it sounds like to me this system has the ability to run 24 hours a day, day and night, and keep people working in growing sales and as well as monitoring the business. Is that a safe assumption?
It's absolutely. So workflow and marketing automation are really two separate pieces of the bigger puzzle that we work within. Our objective is to work with or to implement these tools that a company can use 24/7 to monitor not just sales, marketing, accounting, but we look at HR. If an employee has a review coming up in 30 days, notify the manager so that they can prepare for their for the review. We can look at manufacturing. Are we out of product? We can look at, recently I've had to deal with a number of contractors on a personal issue with my residence, and one of the contractors was complaining about the fact that every Friday he has to sit down and manually write out these project status reports. And I simply pointed out that if they put their information into a database, into a system, then we can automatically do something with that. In his case, it would be automatically distribute their project status reports. Instead of it taking him 8 hours or 10 hours to compile that task, it's actually done in 3 to 5 minutes. It's emailed out to every customer, done. He can go on with his day and generate revenue for the organization.
So the second part of that question is, as far as employees go, you're not eliminating total employment for employees, but you're monitoring or downscaling how many employees would be needed with this program.
Well, there's a fine line there. You definitely don't want to, and we promote the fact that we are not trying to eliminate positions. That's
right.
Not what we're doing. What we're doing is we're looking at the human element. We're looking at the manual tasks that the human element is responsible for that's preventing them from completing their task. So if you hire somebody to do data entry, then that's their job. They're doing data entry. But are there things that are preventing them from doing that job?
On a timely manner.
Exactly.
Right.
So if you have somebody who is supposed to compile a report, and that's their job is to compile reports, then we can compile and deliver those, deliver the data so that they can generate their reports faster. If you have somebody who is administrative and their role is to handle administrative matters, but now you've compounded their role by giving them a reports and a data entry and, oh, by the way, we want you to monitor our website. People are working 10, 12 hours a day in this country. We're the hardest working country in the world. And a lot of that can be downsized, not the employment element, but the time element, just by implementing automation tools to take care of those manual tasks that we really don't need to worry about anymore.
So we can achieve in what we normally work in 12 hours, we can get done in a normal 8-hour day.
Absolutely. Perfect example.
And be successful.
Yeah, I mean, we have a perfect example of a young lady who had spent the last hour of her workday data entering and processing leads from their website. And they were getting a tremendous number of leads every day. And if she didn't get her data entry done by 5 p.m., so, c'est la vie. She was out the door at 5 o'clock and she would wait until the next day and the next day. And so in some cases, leads weren't getting processed for 3, 4, 5 days. Well, that's a tremendous amount of downtime for a lead. And in a competitive market, you want to be able to respond to that lead immediately. So we've implemented a tool there that distributes a lead. Literally, the minute you hit the post or the submit button on the website, the lead is on the smartphone or on the tablet of the traveling salesperson. They can then click a hyperlink on their phone, which then pulls up all your contact data in their phone. They click the dial button, and they're now calling you. So you're literally on the website. You've just hit submit, and the sales rep has the potential to be calling you. And that's automation, and that's efficiency.
You know, it's funny we're talking about this. Yesterday we put a program in place, and it's lead generated. And we, I think, received 12 leads with our POS program. And I got these files out, and I hand wrote them, and I issued out the leads, and then needed the feedback and had to put emails together. I probably spent 2 hours putting together the whole 8-lead program. Or 12 leads. And it's funny, one of the agents said to me, "You're getting really analytical." And I said, "Well, yeah," I said, "we've got to have some feedback, but I can see how it could be very time consuming to do everything manually with this program." That was only 8 to 12 leads for one day. We could get 50 in a month. So interesting, we're talking about that today as we just started this program yesterday.
An example that you touched on POS, and we have an organization right now that's dealing with trying to barcode all of their equipment. They've been shipping out their equipment with human-readable serial numbers, and they're now trying to put barcodes on all their equipment. And so as their equipment comes back in for service, they want to be able to slap barcodes on all that equipment, send it back out to the customer so that in the future – the customer has, a human-readable serial number, but the service tech who's now responsible for managing that piece of equipment, recalibrating, et cetera, has a barcode. And so they can actually, from the minute it hits the door, they can scan it. It pulls up all their information in the CRM, the service history. They know all about the asset, when it was last serviced. We go into just all the way through the service element until it goes back out the door. So just a simple little barcode is literally going to save them a tremendous amount of time in processing the equipment. So customers will get their equipment back. And by the customers, we're talking about, these are Fortune 500 companies that are doing, 3D analysis and skin tech analysis. I mean, they need their equipment. They need it. They can't be down. So the longer the equipment is out, the more it's costing the customer. So our client is able to return the equipment much more quicker just by having a simple little barcode.
We're launching a big project in August nationwide, potentially 2,000-plus POS systems. And I'll let Randy elaborate more on it, but that barcode program, with the equipment we're sending out, we can set up each account and have that information come to us. What time you worth the weight in gold today?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. That's what we try to do.
Well, I think, Tom, that you've really talked about a lot of things that that are machine-oriented that can be decision-based and allow the workflow to go through and not really replace humans or replace FTE hours, but allow those people to be more productive. In other words, redeployment of their time.
Absolutely. You're repurposing your staff to do what you hired them to do. In the area of accounting, for example, we had a client who has three people responsible for doing data entry of invoices or their billing data into the QuickBooks accounting system. So for 30 days, it's actually a six-week process that they were going through to get 1 month's worth of billing out. They had very long, extensive billing that they send out to their customers. And so, you know, these people were literally tied up. And they're looking at hiring a fourth person to help to do the data entry. We sat down, we evaluated the business process, we evaluated the billing rules and all the exceptions in the billing rules, and you know, at a cost to the client, we developed a solution for them in their CRM. So literally on the 15th of the month, one person would open a view or a form. They would see all the customers requiring billing. They would click a button. We'd generate automatically all the invoices. That one individual would review those invoices to make sure that there weren't any errors or omissions, and then she would approve them. At that point, Workflow Automation would automatically data enter all those invoices into QuickBooks. We're talking hundreds of invoices that are multi-page invoices into QuickBooks. If you've ever done any data entry in QuickBooks, you'll know what I'm, you know, how painful that can be. And so we literally took a six-week process. We cut it down to 15 minutes in total time per month. And in the first month, that client found an $87,000 invoice that they would never have been able to send out or receive payment on because it was lost in their data entry. It didn't have all the right data flags. So we were able to help identify issues because you don't have somebody with tired eyes reading data. You have a piece of software that's looking at and designed to specifically monitor and identify, you know, errors in your data or omissions.
So in a nutshell, you're really saying that not only does workflow automation save you from an overhead and employee standpoint, but also you can see a lot of soft cost realization.
Absolutely. And so in that last example, those two additional people that were working in the accounting, they were repurposed to the sales organization. So now instead of being a cost center, they're actually being
revenue generation
side of the business.
Yeah.
Thank you. And so now they're pulling in more revenue, and this particular client's in growth mode. I mean, they bought their largest competitor, and they're seeing the value of these little resources that we've put in place for them.
So, Tom, let me ask you something. This is done nationwide. Have you been doing this in Georgia a long time? How long you been in Georgia? I mean, what's the secret here?
How'd you get to Georgia?
How did I get to Georgia? I spun a pencil on a map. So, you know, our client base, you know, I started out in the CRM industry in its infancy, really before it was CRM. It was really what we called sales force automation, and that had just such a negative connotation. You don't want to force sales. So I started out in the early 90s, and I got involved at the right time. I was working on the West Coast for an organization, and Leatherberry Associates kind of evolved out of that on the West Coast. We established a base of customers there. In 2001, I moved to Atlanta and officially founded Leatherberry Associates. And the first thing that we did was we released an integration between CRM and the QuickBooks Small Business Accounting software. That has cultivated worldwide interest. So we've actually got some clients that are outside the U.S. that are using the U.S. English version of QuickBooks, and they're looking at how they can make their organization more efficient. So our client base is very broad. It crosses multiple markets, vertical markets, again, following that horizontal vertical that I mentioned earlier. Here in the state of Georgia, I haven't done any marketing in the last 11 years. I haven't had to. All of my business has come to me through referral, through Google searches, et cetera. However, what we've decided is that we really want to take what we've learned nationally, internationally, and we want to bring it to Gwinnett County, and we want to focus specifically on Gwinnett County-based businesses. So instead of now being responding to somebody calling us through a referral, we're now actively marketing our services. We're now actively going after business, small SMB-type businesses here in the Gwinnett County. We want to show them how to be able to compete on the national market.
Outstanding. Well, that's great. Well, I'm sure that there are a lot of business owners of small to medium-sized businesses that are out there that may want to look up some more information or possibly even contact you. How would they best go about doing that?
So the best way to contact us would be through our website, leatherberry.net. It's www.leatherberry.net. Our telephone is 770-291-2242.
Excellent. Well, Tom, thanks. That was quite informative. We appreciate you being on the show today.
Thank you very much for having me.
And Dennis, what's going on at Meridian Star this week?
Well, I'll tell you what, we have the Gwinnett Arena, the Chamber event is August 22nd. We will be there. We will have our POS stations available to show different businesses how they can utilize these opportunities to run their business. So I would say our POS program is strong and going here in July and August. And that's it.
Outstanding. Well, we want to thank our guests so much for joining us today on Partners for Success. And again, they were Pam Estabrook, owner of ProTech Painters in Suwanee, Georgia, and also Tom Leatherberry, CEO of Leatherberry Associates. Remember, you can listen to our show live every Tuesday morning at 11:30 a.m. on this Business X radio station. You can also listen to any of our shows anytime, 24/7, by logging on to our website, Partners for Success. businessradiox.com. Partners for Success is presented by Meridian Star Merchant Services, your partner in processing, where we not only have the best rates in the industry, we're always there when you need us. Call us anytime at 1-855-MER-STAR.
And a special thanks to our producer, Mike Salmon, always stepping in and giving us a hand. We thank you, Mike.
And for Dennis Bonin, this is Randy Hicks. We'll see you right here next time on Partners for Success.